The Good News, Irritable and Spiritual with Lisa Phillips will make you laugh and get you moving into the fabulous life you truly deserve. The Bad News, Lisa promises to burst your excuses as to why you're not taking action and give you a kick up the bum to get you moving. Join Spiritual and Irritable for fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show where Lisa Phillips will inspire you to let go of old baggage, release negative beliefs, set fabulously sexy goals, and share with you hundreds of other amazing action steps which will assist you in feeling great about yourself and your life. Lisa will also share her own personal stories of how, as a life coach, she doesn't always practice what she preaches. Warning, this show is guaranteed to make you feel good about yourself and leave you with a smile on your face. Now, here is your host, Lisa Phillips.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world today. It's a big welcome from Spiritual and Irritable. Now, I hope you're all having a fabulous week. I am really excited to have our guest with us today. Her name is Diane Schwartz. She is a fabulous lady. She's a former model, business founder and president of the Education Against Domestic Violence. And she's also the author of probably up there on my all-time favorite books, which is called Whose Face Is in the Mirror. Now, this book was basically Diane's journey of the nightmare that she took from domestic abuse to actually true healing. And it's interesting. I've got my copy here with me, and it has so many pages that are highlighted. I've got post-it notes coming out of it all over the place, because those of you who listen to my show regularly will know that I also struggled very difficult to get out of my own 5-year abusive relationships. And one of the things that I used to do was I wrote a journal with heaps of inspirational quotes and took paragraphs out of books that inspired me. And particularly Diane's book was the one that I took so much information from, because I actually felt that I really related to things that Diane would say in her book, and I found myself going, I did that. You know, it's okay I did that, because Diane did it and she's actually got herself out a bit. And towards the end of our show today, I'd like to actually read out for you one of my favorite paragraphs from Diane's book, which is just a pure blessing to me and something that really helped me through my own journey. So, Diane, welcome to the Spiritual and Irritable show today.
Oh, hi, Lisa. You almost brought tears to my eyes talking about my book helping you. That means so much to me. Thank you.
Oh, absolute pleasure. I read so many books during my journey, but for yours, I'm sure I used to carry it around with me virtually every day just in case I needed that little bit of inspiration. And I think one of the things that would in particular resonated with me is how you get yourself strong enough to actually leave your abusive partner. And then, of course, we put the rose-colored glasses back on and we think that everything's going to be okay, and then we end up going back there again, which we've all done. I did at least 5 times before I actually realized that I needed to love myself enough to stay away for good. So, I mean, I understand your book is on the, like, 100 bestsellers of all time, like women's issues books, and I can totally understand that. So, Deb, would you just share with our readers, our listeners even, a little bit about your own story?
Sure. I married the wrong man. You know, be honest with you, there were some signs that I saw, not that he was abusive, but that he had issues. And wasn't engaged nearly long enough, you know, that whirlwind romance, and he was building me up, and he was so handsome, he was a male model. I met him on a commercial shoot, actually. And I can tell you that I look back now, and I wasn't actually in love with him when I married him, but I was trying to rescue him because I owned my own business, and he had just gotten laid off from his job as an engineer. And so I said, oh, you can come help me run my business. You know, I'm just going to take care of him. We were married for 1 month before he physically abused me, and I mean badly. I should have gone to the emergency room, but I wouldn't do it because I was too ashamed. And so it was I was married to him for only a year, but I was afraid for my life. And I can remember on our first anniversary having dinner, and he was in what all victims know as that tension-building mode, angry for no reason, but you know that it's going to stay there until it goes into the explosion mode. And I just told myself there will never be a second anniversary with this man because I've got to get out of here. And so I went to therapy because I had some family childhood issues with my father, too, that I needed to get out of the way so that I could find the truth about myself, because I didn't know that to be called horrible names was so terrible, because my dad always did it when I was growing up. And we do this. We marry someone that actually is worse off than we are so that maybe we can step in and help them and feel better about ourselves. But the problem is they pull us down further and further. So my returning to him was on a boat trip where it almost got me killed. I almost drowned trying to escape him. So it was a huge wake-up call for me because I made a promise to God that if he got me out of this situation, let me live, that I was going to get well. And I was going to get well enough that I could help other people that were going through this, and that's exactly what I did. So I just decided to just kind of start writing. That inner voice kept telling me I needed to write, and I put it off for several years. And finally, it got really loud and said, if you know so much, but you don't share it with anyone, what good is it? Because I had just been volunteering at a local shelter and the support groups and everything, and the women would tell me, you know, what you said helped me so much. And so I thought, well, maybe I could just write this and have it, you know, bound and put in the shelter for women to read while they were staying there. And next thing I know, it's being published. I mean, it was a miracle. I became an author before I was a writer. And it was like something that was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be out there. And it's very open and honest. And instead of looking at why the abuser does what he does, I looked at why I stayed and what I was doing. Because if I wasn't there, he wouldn't be able to abuse me. And I just felt it was really important to focus on the mind of the battered woman rather than what the abuser is doing. You know, that's his issue. And we're always trying to step in and take care of them and find out why they do what they do instead of why we stay. And that was the focus of my book.
That's so key. And I think that's one of the things that really helped me from your book, was realizing that I had to take all my attention off trying to change my abuser and put that attention back on myself. And like you said, ask myself, hey, why am I putting up with this? You know, why am I allowing this person to do this to me? And I think that's a huge transformational step to take, isn't it? To sort of, you know, stop focusing on what the abuser is doing to you and ask yourself, okay, why am I attracting this sort of relationships? You know, why am I staying in this relationship? Would you agree, Diane?
Absolutely. That's one of the main keys is to getting out. And I learned from my counselor, too, if I would bring up my abuser something about what he was doing, he'd go like, I don't care what he says. You know, it's not the truth. Don't tell me what he says because it's a lie. And that got me to like, okay, well, then I'm going to stop focusing on that too, and I'm going to focus on myself. Cause why would I pay good money to go in there and talk about what the abuser said that made me feel bad? You know, my counselor's main concern was that he was going to break my neck because he was picking me up by my throat, by my neck, and throw me across the room. And he said, I'm just afraid he's going to break your neck and you're going to be crippled or you're going to die. And he was very, very concerned. So I left safely. So I didn't have, you know, I rented an apartment for 6 months. So if I returned to him, it was going to cost me a lot of money. And so the financial part of it was real important to me too. And then having my own place where I could do what I wanted to do, because we moved into his home when we got married, and he let me know it was his home. I wasn't allowed to change anything, and I, you know, that and joined with the abuse that was going on. It was just a nightmare. So, you know, it was still hard and difficult, but I did it step by step, just like abuse is. It's very insidious, step by step, and that's how you leave, too, step by step, just slowly. Sometimes get out first and then slowly build up your heart and your spirit so that you don't return.
That's so true. That really sort of resonates with my own journey. I just want to pick up on one thing you said there that your therapist said. It's like, I don't want to talk about him. Let's just ignore it. That's powerful. That's really powerful if you know, the people in abusive relationships out there, is not to buy into what the abuser's saying and just ignore it, because then you think, then, if you can do that, they're not necessarily triggering that reaction inside of you, are they?
Right, yeah. And my counselor, he would just, he could even irritate it and just kind of roll his eyes like, I'm so bored with him and what he's saying. You know, can we move on from this? And so, you know, and he was usually very kind and gentle, but he just, he kind of like, I don't even want to go there with you, Diane, you know. So I learned through that, you know, there, and I've learned since then, if we repeat what they've said to us and what they've called us, we're giving their words value. And if we stop giving it value, then it's no longer important to us. And I realized, one woman was talking to me. I used to go get pedicures from her, and she would just go on and on and on about what her ex-husband was saying and everything. And I said, it's not important. She goes, oh, I know, it's not important. I said, then why do you keep repeating it? Why do you keep giving it more value by repeating what he said? And so she never said anything, to me anyway, about him again.
Lovely. I love that. That's so true. I think I remember somebody saying to me once, look, every time you talk about him, he's with you. You know, do you really want that person to be with you the whole time? And I was like, oh my God, no. You know, I don't want him sort of anywhere near me. So, Dan, could you just share with us a few reasons perhaps about why victims of abuse don't actually leave their partners and why they stay in abusive relationships?
Well, I have found, you know, a lot of times it's financial and they don't have outside support and they get so confused that they don't realize there are resources out there to help them. But there was one thing I discovered in really analyzing the cycle of abuse, and some of the main ones was the tension building, the explosion, and then the honeymoon. And I realized that right after the explosion, this is when the abuser, actually he's abused and beat her or whatever, starts doing things that maybe she's been asking him to do and he never would do, maybe help clean or take care of the kids or whatever. And then he's buying her gifts and he's being really sweet. And I realized that this is the only time in this relationship this woman has any control or say. And it could get pretty heady for someone who never has a say or any control in the relationship. And then pretty soon, you know, this honeymoon period isn't even going to happen anymore because he's figured out she's staying and stuff like that. So I think it's really important time to reach a battered woman, too, as counselors and shelters, is before he can ever start making these promises and everything, that she doesn't go through that anymore. She doesn't have that feeling of control because it is a false sense of power. It isn't real at all. And it's, I still went, oh my gosh, yeah, you do. It makes you feel better about yourself because all of a sudden he's acting sheepish and he's, you know, acting like you've always acted, like the victim always acts. He's acting like it, and it's short lived, guaranteed. I don't think they usually last more than 3 days. So, but that can suck a woman in who's never had a say in the relationship.
That's a really good, I remember those feelings very much inside of my relationship, those brief feelings that I was back in control, and in some way even that holding that above his head and enjoying, you know, those controlling, those feelings that perhaps I was actually getting somewhere or I was actually gaining a little bit of control myself.
Oh, yeah. It's a very dangerous and sick game, you know, Lisa. It is. It's a very dangerous and sick game that we're playing. I used to try to get him to notice my bruises. Like, here, I want you to look at that. And I knew he would see them, but he never would acknowledge it or anything. So, you know, trying to make him feel something that he wasn't going to feel and wasn't capable of feeling.
That's a very good point. I know, I think that's very common as well. You expect them to feel in a certain way and give you a certain amount of perhaps empathy, but you may as well give up because it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Or if they do give you it, it's probably because they want to manipulate you in some way or lull you, like you said, into that false sense of security.
Right.
Excuse me. Then we spoke a little bit earlier about, you said you have a lovely story to share with us about the scorpion, and I'm really looking forward to hearing this. As a Scorpio myself, I know I have a little bit of a sting in my tail. So would you be happy to just share this with our listeners?
Yeah, I don't know if it's lovely, but I'm always relating things to animals. I have quite a few insect and animal stories that, because some reason, if I talk to battered women about it, when I've spoken, I see all of a sudden recognition come into their eyes, you know. But I met a man from Tunisia, and as a child, he and his brothers would capture scorpions and sell to the lab there for anti-venom, because, you know, if a baby gets stung, sometimes it can kill them. And so the lab would actually give them money for these scorpions. So, you know, when they first started out, they had, like, clay pots, and they would throw the scorpions and capture them, you know, with anything they could, you know, like tweezers, and throw them in the pot and stuff. And then, of course, they would get right back out. And so then they thought, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to dig a hole in the desert floor, and we're going to put the scorpions in there, and we're going to put dry grass all around the edge of this hole, and then we're going to set it on fire. And that way the scorpions won't come out. So this is what they did, and they throw the scorpions in there. And the scorpions would not be able to think out that, okay, when this fire goes away, I can escape. And instead would take their stingers and plunge it into their own bodies and commit suicide. And I've talked to people, they're in the bug business, insect business, and they said, yeah, they will. They get, you know, they will start. If they can't escape, they'll do that. And so I know with battered women sometimes, all they see is the flames and the smoke screen that's there. They can't see the hope and the resources that are on the outside of that burning circle. And they self-destruct in many ways. Some of them abuse drugs or drink too much or kill themselves. Because that smoke screen, because they have no hope, they can't see through.
Wow, gosh, that is a scary story, actually, but so true. It really is. You get yourself in that hole, and you can't see any way out. In fact, you think your best bet is staying.
Well, that's why abusers like to isolate their victims so much, because then they don't hear any outside opinion, you know, telling them, wait a minute, you know, that's not right, and he's not treating you right. Because, you know, a lot of women don't even know that they're battered women. They just think they're women that can't get it right.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you go through that whole, it's me. He's telling it's me. So it must be me. So maybe if I change my behavior in some way, he will stop doing what he's doing. And it all comes back down, you know, to ourselves. We blame ourselves. We doubt ourselves. And, of course, because of their behavior, it just compounds the whole time.
Yeah, it does. It gets worse. And the longer you stay, the worse it gets, you know. And sadly, some women never leave, you know. They're 70 years old, and they're still with this man. Of course, that's another generation that says you stay no matter what. But I did meet a 70-year-old woman whose husband finally hit her in the back of the neck and cracked some vertebrae. And then when she was in the hospital, her son came in, and she told him what was going on. And he got her an apartment and moved her out and told his dad and never wanted to see him again. But see, all this had been going on, and she was 70 years old, and she had spent, you know, so many years wasting her life while this man manipulated and controlled her and abused her.
Gosh, I actually remember something like that in your book, and that was a real wake-up call for me to go, oh, my God, no, I don't want to be 60 years of age and still feeling like I do now. In fact, I remember thinking, you know, a bit like you said earlier on, I won't be alive if I have to go through this, because I started to manifest quite physical sickness and everything in my body. And it is so sad that, you know, people do get to that age. And I'm glad in that case that the lady did get out in the end. But, you know, in some way we just wish that perhaps she'd have seen the resources and support that's available and be able to get out a little bit sooner.
Yeah, yeah. When I was talking to her, hands were just shaking. You could tell she was still traumatized. And she was a beautiful woman, too, just beautiful silver hair. And I'm just like, oh, bless her heart. It's, you know, it happens.
Oh, absolutely. I was looking at some statistics, actually, before we did the show today. And in Australia, they actually say that 1 in 4 women are suffering some type of abuse, whether it's verbal, physical, or emotional. I mean, that's shocking.
And those are the ones that are reported. Those are the ones that are reported. They're saying that only 7% of abuse is ever reported. So can you imagine what the real numbers are?
Gosh, I mean, it seems like some sort of, it's like a pandemic almost that's going around. And I have to be honest, I see it more and more only now because I'm not in it. I'm beginning to see, and I don't know whether you're the same, Dan, more and more women who are perhaps finding themselves in relationships that aren't particularly healthy. And I think, you know, from just a quick point of view of myself, I do see that a lot because of loneliness or just not basically, you know, loving themselves enough. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. It really is.
Something I always tell women, and it's so true, Lisa, is, you know, like, well, I love him, you know, and I know he loves me. And I said, you know, here's the truth of the matter. That, throw both of those out. I said, the bottom line is you don't love yourself because there's no way you could love yourself and allow this to go on. You would protect yourself by leaving and protect not only physically but spiritually. Protect your spirit, because these guys are going to tear it apart, you know, just rip it down. By the way, and I say guys, I know women do this to men too, you know, so I'm just, because of my experience, I'm going to say guys, you know. And it's just a slow burnout until there's nothing left.
So true, yes. Now, one of the things I really like to have a chat with you today is, after you actually do leave your partner, and, you know, please feel free then to tell me about your own personal experiences. What happens then when you actually do leave? You know, for me, I suffered terrible withdrawal symptoms, which was crazy because, you know, I spent so much energy trying to get away from this person, and yet, you know, we used to always date on a Saturday night. On a Saturday night, I had to hide my telephone in my underwear drawer with a post-it note that used to say, do not call, because I get lonely, and I want to call him. And I can't remember if it's from your book or perhaps another book that I read. It said, don't be a duck and call them. And I used to imagine myself as being a duck, which is, I don't know, it helped. But it was like an obsession. It was a compulsion that although I tried to get away from this person and I had successfully managed to get away, all these feelings of I'm unlovable, you know, nobody loves me, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life, and thinking, you know, maybe I should just have the odd biscuit crumb rather than, you know, having the whole biscuit for me. And I know that's a lot of the time where people end up going back to their abusers, basically not just because maybe the abuser's stalking them, which they can often do as well, I remember that one, but also because of their own withdrawal feelings that actually come to the surface.
Yeah, time is not your friend when you're in this period, you know, of withdrawals from this. And you minimize the abuse that you were living with, and you start minimizing yourself. Like you said, no one will ever love me, I'll always be alone, and then at some point you get to go, it'll be better to be alone than to spend the rest of your life like that. It's honestly, my father always treated me, he was very verbally, emotionally abusive and stuff like that. So, I mean, I had to completely change my thinking process. It's like, I'm a better person than this. Maybe I never will find anyone that thinks I'm worthy, but I have to learn how to think that I am worthy. And I always tell women, don't talk to them. It's like radio silence when you're on the battlefield, and you don't want the enemy to know what your plans are, where you are, what you're doing. You maintain radio silence. That means you don't talk. You don't let the enemy know what's going on, and that starts helping you to break free of that. And just like you said, you put your phone in your underwear drawer with Post-its and stuff like that, you know. And then sometimes, well, that's not even enough.
Really, I used to do so many ridiculous things. Like I'd have my friends, well, they weren't ridiculous, I suppose it's a support network. I'd get my friends to come and sit in the house with me and hide my telephone. I'd delete all these numbers because I'm not very good at remembering numbers. And I'd leave the numbers in the office so that I wasn't tempted. But I can remember running around the house trying to find a paper copy of my phone bill so I could find his number. I mean, yeah, it was so funny when I look back now, but, you know, those feelings are so strong.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and that, it's that part of that, too. We want to hear that apology, that going back into that honeymoon phase again. We want to hear that apology that he was wrong. We need to know that, even though somewhere inside we know he's not really apologizing. He's saying, I'm sorry, but you did something to cause it, which is not an apology. It's just an excuse on his part, you know. There was something that really helped me one time. I have OCD. I'm a counter. Now, I'm not like the crazy people you see on TV. Well, some people might say I am, but I count things, you know. I'm counting how many sides around the TV while I'm watching movies and everything. And so my doctor put me on some medication that was supposed to help with it. So I was on it for a while. And then I realized that I was so numbed out that I couldn't even get chills anymore. You know, somebody tells you something, you just get goosebumps. That I couldn't even do that anymore. So I said, well, I'm going to go off of these. So it was one of these medications you wean yourself off of, because I'd heard people that had just abruptly stopped taking this stuff sometimes ended up in the hospital. So I found an online forum, and I was doing all the things they said. You know, you break the tablet in half, you know, for a week, and then the next week, you know, you take a fourth and everything. And so I was on this forum, and one thing that helped me more than anything that always stood with me, this guy said, just remember this, you'll be fine. And that's what I would tell a battered woman. Don't call him. Don't talk to him. You'll be fine.
They are such simple words, but so true. You know, if there's anybody listening out there, you will be fine. You know, absolutely. I know from my own experiences, I've been fortunately away from my ex for 4 years now, and I've never felt better. You know, okay, I haven't met anyone new yet, but to be able to wake up in the morning without that feeling of, oh my God, what is today going to bring? You know, to be able to get out of bed and go, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do today. You know, this is going to be a great day. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, when you can leave all of that behind and just be you. I remember going to buy a bottle of wine, and it was strange. I was standing in the bottle shop, and I'd just broken up from my partner, and being able to sort of choose my own wine without somebody saying, you will like this one, you know. I could choose my own, and I was like, wow, this is cool.
Oh, I know. I could have pink in my house if I wanted it, you know, which was something to me, because he was all Mr. Masculine. It was like living in a man's boot camp or something, you know. There was nothing feminine in that whole place. But it was just Yeah, I understand that being able to go buy a tube of lipstick without him telling you that's not the right color and stuff. And it takes a while to get to that point. I mean, first it's like he's behind you, you know. One time I was walking along with my neighbor. He wrote for Nature magazines, and we were out on this kind of bluff area there and outside of Phoenix and walking along, and all of a sudden I had this vision of just being violently pushed off the embankment and rolling down to the bottom. And I just went, oh, my gosh, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. And it's very real. It, you know, these things come back. I had women say, like, I'm in the car, and all of a sudden he's in the back seat. You know, and it's a very real thing. And even now in Scottsdale, there's one street I don't like to drive down, and I have to cross it when I go to my doctor there, and I actually get tight in the chest and get anxious. So part of that won't leave. But that's okay. It's a reminder of where it used to be and where I am now and how far I've come, and that life is good. And every morning I wake up, and before I get out of bed, I say a prayer for my family, a prayer of thankfulness that we're all still here and healthy. And then I say, today I choose to be happy. And it has changed my life doing that. And even if I try to slip back into negativity during the day, it goes, wait a minute, you made a choice. Don't dishonor yourself by going back to being negative. And it's really made a big difference. And it is a choice. But you don't have a choice if you're living with an abuser.
Oh. Sam, can you hear me at all?
Your turn.
Oh, sorry, my dear. You disappeared there for a little bit, and I just missed the end of that. But I heard you talking about how it's a choice, and it is a choice. It is a choice, and just sometimes we have to choose to put our own emotional well-being first.
Right.
You know, just,
and you know what, Lisa? I changed my religious beliefs after going through all of this because I realized I was going to a church that abused the members, always telling we weren't good enough, we'd never be good enough, and I went, wait a minute. So my friendship base changed. I had one girlfriend that I realized was verbally abusing me, calling me names, you know, joking, but not very nice, and I told her, if you ever call me that again, our friendship is over. And she did, and it was over. So everything changed, but for the better.
That's true, isn't it? I know it might sound to some people, but it's scary. And it's funny you mentioned that about a church, because I had a client of mine. Similar things happened. She split up with her abusive partner. She went back to church, and she was basically told to go back. And, I mean, that's another form of abuse, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, some things, your life will change, but it will change for the better. You know, it's so much more scarier being in an abusive relationship than getting out of one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It takes more strength to stay in one, just being on pins and needles all the time. And, I mean, that ruins your health. It really does. I mean, I had lower back pain all the time, and then I find out that, you know, that's worry. That's stress. And just being with him was ruining my health. So it was not only emotional, but it was physical. There was nothing good, absolutely nothing good, except I had a man in my life, and that he was handsome. However, as I say in my book, you can take manure, you can wrap it up in pretty paper and put a bow on it, but when you open it, it's still manure.
It's funny, isn't it? It's so refreshing now, just to, I think, and I'm sure people listening who have been through this, it's so refreshing, though, to be able to look back and be able to laugh at ourselves as well. Because I sometimes look back and go, oh, my God, I did that. I begged. I went on my hands and knees. I allowed that person to do that to me. But in some ways, it's good to be able to look back and just say, it's over now, and I know more. It's okay now, isn't it? Because you're right, they're still manure, and they will still go on and be manure. And I think that's a big thing to remember in case, you know, we often fear that if we do leave, our partner's all of a sudden going to become Prince Charming. And it's not true. They're not going to meet somebody else who's going to be there. Oh, you know, this white unicorn's going to come along and they're going to turn into this fabulous, amazing person that you've always wanted them to be. No, they're still manure.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You think, like, they're going to treat another woman better than you. No, they're not. No, they're not. You know, I found out that my husband had been abusing his girlfriend before me, you know? And I'm just like, but for somehow, a lot of women want to hang on. I don't want another woman to have him. Well, I wouldn't want another woman to be abused either. But, you know, I mean, it's just, some of the things, you know, that we hang on to, that, which are ego-related and not spirit-related, something that will lift you up. And I was thinking that, you know, when people don't understand that you can kind of make laugh and kind of joke about, you know, the things you did, they don't understand, well, how could you ever do that? But I'm hoping that if there's any women who are in an abusive relationship right now hear that, I want them to know that when you leave, you can sit down and laugh about it and shake your head and just say, I can't believe I did that, and share with another survivor, you know. Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's actually quite liberating, you know, to actually say to somebody, I can't believe I did that. You know, it is. It's sort of the truth will set you free, and you feel better because you're able to be you and be honest about it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, do we have time for another animal story?
Oh, absolutely. I'm loving our conversation. Feel free.
Well, the same man from Tunisia that collected the scorpions as a child told me that he and his brothers also, like, you know, here in Arizona, you ride your horses across the fields and the desert, but he and his brothers rode his dad's camels across the field. And he said that, you know, they say elephants never forget, but he said, I'm telling you, camels don't. And if you ever abuse one, intentionally abuse it, it will never forget about it. And even if you leave for 4 years and go to the university and you come back, that camel will remember you and what you did to it. And given the chance, they will kill you. They will stomp you to death. And so this trait is so strong that then they know they have to get rid of the camel, or, you know. And so there's actually a service in Tunisia that comes out and executes these camels. And, it, you know, they bind their legs and stuff like that, and they end up eventually cutting their throat. But what is sad is the camels actually know what's about to happen to them, and they actually weep. They have tears running out of their eyes. They understand they were abused, and now they're being killed for remembering it. And a camel can recognize the abuse, but a woman that is being battered in the middle of it can't.
Wow. Gosh. Beautiful. You know what I mean? Beautiful in the fact I think it is now, but, you know, shocking there as well. I mean, Ben, have you got anything sort of you'd like to say to the listeners about coming out of that denial and realizing that you are being abused?
Well, you have to look at the truth and stop making excuses for what's happening to you and what he's doing to you. And you have to look at the truth of the situation and what's really happening. And the way you do that is you get rid of the lies you're telling yourself, the lies he's telling you about yourself. That's how you get to the truth of everything and how you get to the truth of your situation. Denial won't change nothing. The truth, as the Bible says, will set you free, and it does. It sets you free. Is it easy? No. But it's a lot easier to go through that than living that way the rest of your life, because I'm telling you what, things aren't going to change. They aren't. Abusers have like a 2% cure rate. The only group of people who have a less percentage of a cure rate are pedophiles. That's what you're dealing with here. It's a learned behavior. It's not because of anything else. That's not because, oh, because their parents did this, or this happened, this happened. It's a learned behavior, and most of them don't want to unlearn it because that's what they use to control people with. It works for them, but it doesn't work for the victim. Get the lies out of the way. Get to the truth.
Yeah, I think, you know, we do make excuses. I know I did. You know, or they're having a bad day, or they don't know any better, or their parents did that. And that's an absolutely fabulous piece of advice. It's getting honest with yourself and being, you know, harsh on yourself and actually sort of saying, you know what, it's not going to change. Nothing's going to change. His behavior is not going to change. You know, he may promise me all these things verbally, but he's not taking action to actually do anything. And I think, importantly enough, if things do change, they'll probably change for a maximum of 3 days, like you said, because there is that cycle as well. So I recently worked with a client, and it was very sad. And she came into my office and she said, I've just given up on happiness for myself because I'm in this relationship. And that really resonated with me as well. Never give up on yourself. Never, you know, don't let that person do that to you. You deserve so much more. And if you can just take your attention off that person, let the ball go out of play, like we were saying earlier, and just work on building yourself up. You can do it. You really can. You know, step by step, build up that self-esteem muscle, and you will get there because nobody deserves that. Nobody does.
That's right. That's right. And that's not why we were put on this earth, is to be abused.
Oh, God.
We were put here to do something else with our life, and abuse will put a stop to it. You know, so then you find what your purpose in life is, and it's not tolerating abuse or making excuses for abuse. And on chapter 22 of my book, that was probably the most enlightened chapter I wrote, The Mind of a Battered Woman. And every excuse I'd ever used and every excuse I'd ever heard any other battered woman use, I just started flowing through there and all the things that we say. And my psychologist told me that any woman that's being abused should read that chapter over and over again until it finally sinks in. All these excuses that we have is really an excuse to not move forward and to stay where we are because we're more afraid of the unknown than we are of the known, so we decide to stay and live with the devil himself.
Absolutely. I mean, that is just so true. It's better the devil we know than actually doing something about it. Now, I'm actually going to read one of my favorite paragraphs from your book shortly.
But, oh, good.
Graham, where can people reach you? And very importantly, if you're listening to this show, go out and buy Diane's book because it's fabulous and you're not going to regret it. And actually, I've just noticed there's so many other little writings on it where I've lent this book to clients and they've written on it as well, which is
really
great. So where can people reach you?
Our best place is email. You know, I used to have a website, and I decided it would be safer just personally email. I am on an all experts online panel, but my email is whose_face@yahoo.com, and I do answer all of my emails. I get emails from women all over the world, and I do answer them.
If anybody obviously misses that or something, please don't hesitate to contact me as well at the show, and I'll pass on Diane's details. But there's a part of Diane's book that really resonated with me over the years, and I just want to read this to you. It's towards the end, and it's called You Are Blessed. And this is some words from Diane to the people who are reading this book, and I'm just going to read it out. It says, if I could reach you and hug you and convince you just how wonderful and worthy you truly are, oh gosh, I'm welling up here, I would cherish the chance to do so. If it would help for me to stand out on a rooftop and proudly proclaim that you are loved, I'd be pulling my ladder out of storage. If I was able to wipe away your tears and tell you that I understand how you feel and what you're going through and offer the hope that you can and will work through this heartache, I would be knocking on your front door right now. I would tell you that you're a blessing just because you're alive. Oh, gosh, that brought some emotion up in me. I love that. It just sort of, it made me feel you know, you feel alone in an abusive relationship sometimes, and that made me feel, you're gunning for me, you know, you're supporting me, which was just brilliant.
I remember the day I wrote that.
Oh, please share.
In the process of being published, they take some things out of the manuscript, add other things, and the acquisition editor at Hay House said, I want you in so many words that if you could say something to a battered woman, what would it be? And that was it.
Wow, it's I'm
now
so
you're getting
glad
me choked up, Lisa.
Oh, good grief, sorry. Now tell me about your life today, Diane. What's going on in your life right now?
Well, I'm married to a wonderful husband. We've been married 18 years. My children are grown. Derek, who I talk about in my book, who was like 11 years old when I was married to the abuser, is now the father of two beautiful children. I still help battered women, and I've just signed on to become a volunteer for CASA, which is a child advocacy special assistant that these are children that have been removed from their home because of abuse or other things and have been put in foster homes. And you are their advocate in court, and you recommend to the judge what you think, you know, should happen with them and different things that would help them to get on with the life and be happy and not become a part of the system. And you work with their caseworker, their attorney, and everything. And so it's something new for me to do, but I just felt called to do it, and I just feel it's such a worthy cause. And I'm really excited to start my training for that. And I'm working on another book, too, about what we talked about, the value of the words that we speak or how we take the words that are spoken to us. So.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Well, make sure you let me know when that's coming out, because I'll be first down at the bookstore. That sounds fabulous. And the work that you're doing there with the child advocacy, that's awesome as well, because if we can just help to support, you know, kids that have gone through trauma, it doesn't take much sometimes, just a bit of love, and, you know, that's absolutely brilliant. So, Diane, any final words for our listeners today?
Just if you're in an abusive relationship, I want you to know that in 5 years, if you're still there with him, you'll just be 5 years older and experience the same thing, or you could be rediscovering the life you were supposed and meant to live, and there's many resources out there to help you do just that.
Beautiful. Thank you, darling. I could talk to you for hours. That's absolute, just a dream come true for me to sit and talk to you today. And I feel, again, so inspired and so grateful that I've left my abuser far behind now, because it's just, life is so much better. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
I have enjoyed every second of it. Thank you.
My pleasure, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Do you feel like you need proven leadership because your life is losing its desired direction? Do you need affordable private coaching that will work for you and your schedule? If you've ever felt stuck in an uncomfortable life situation, here's the answer. Based on years of experience in life coaching, Lisa Phillips has written the amazing Coaching DIY Do-It-Yourself Manual. If you haven't heard of Lisa Phillips yet, you should. She's a certified neuro-linguistic programmer, and she regularly contributes to top self-improvement magazines around the world. Many people know what they would like to change in their lives, but don't have the knowledge or the resources on how to do something about it. This book reveals everything you need to know, from achieving exciting goals to identifying and releasing toxic emotions. With Lisa's ebook, everyone can easily take action to feel good right away. Get your copy now at amazingcoaching.com.au. That's amazingcoaching.com.au.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer, even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer as she shares how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine, Vitamin D, shedding light on a worldwide health crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com.
Wow, what an amazing call today with Diane Schwartz, just the most amazing woman. And doesn't she have a beautiful ladylike voice? It was just fabulous. Such great information there. Diane's done such fabulous work. Please pick a copy of her book, Whose Face is in the Mirror. It's a Hay House book, so I'm sure you can get it through their website. Diane was actually voted one of the Hay House Book of the Year. So definitely go out and treat yourself to that. Now, those of you that are in Australia or perhaps in an abusive relationship, I'm really pleased to say that I'm working on a new book of mine, which is called Step Out of Abuse and Into Love, which is a lot of the things that Diane and I were talking about today, how you really have to love yourself enough, first of all. And my book is basically about my own journey from leaving abuse, how each and every day I did something new to build up my self-esteem muscle, to learn about assertiveness, to learn about what I deserved. And once I did these actions, I was able to far more easily walk away from my partner because I loved myself enough to do that. So keep listening for more information about that. I'm also work in progress. I'm working on a new emotional abuse support site, which I'm so blessed that the lovely Diane has also given me some fabulous information that she's written for us. She's going to be one of the experts on the site, and she's already provided me with some fabulous information that I'm going to upload on the site. And that's to give everybody support out there, not just for leaving, but like we discussed today, to cope with the withdrawals and to have a forum for support, to be able to have somebody to help you out when you're feeling stressed or feel like going back or you just want some help with your relationship. So I'm a bit hoarse now. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure for you to be listening to the show. If you need to contact me, please do so. It's info@amazingcoaching.com.au, or you can check out my website on www.amazingcoaching.com.au. Have a beautiful week and lots of love, and I will speak to you all very soon. Bye.
Wow, you've been listening to Spiritual and Irritable with Lisa Phillips. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more laughter, more breakthroughs, and the fabulous life you truly deserve. Get ready to burst your excuses, take action, and get moving now. Join Spiritual and Irritable each week for a fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show. For more information or to receive a copy of Lisa's ebook, Amazing Coaching DIY, Do It Yourself, visit AmazingCoaching.com.au. That's AmazingCoaching.com.au. See you next week.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Do you feel like you need proven leadership because your life is losing its desired direction? Do you need affordable private coaching that will work for you and your schedule? If you've ever felt stuck in an uncomfortable life situation, here's the answer. Based on years of experience in life coaching, Lisa Phillips has written the amazing Coaching DIY Do-It-Yourself Manual. If you haven't heard of Lisa Phillips yet, you should. She's a certified neuro-linguistic programmer, and she regularly contributes to top self-improvement magazines around the world. Many people know what they would like to change in their lives, but don't have the knowledge or the resources on how to do something about it. This book reveals everything you need to know, from achieving exciting goals to identifying and releasing toxic emotions. With Lisa's ebook, everyone can easily take action to feel good right away. Get your copy now at AmazingCoaching.com.au. That's AmazingCoaching.com.au.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.